Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, bringing you quiz shows in this hour. Later on, the Quiz of Two Cities from 1944, but first, it's 20 questions. This episode first heard on April 6th, 1946.
Is it animal or mineral?
Is it a living American man?
Is it a musical instrument?
Is it as big as the river?
Does it rhyme with Wiener Schnitzel?
Yes, all America is playing 20 questions. In cooperation with the Puzzle and Game Question of Pageant Magazine, Mutual presents 20 Questions, and here's Bill Slater.
Thank you, Bob. Hello, everyone, and welcome to 20 Questions. Here's how you can play it along with us. You listeners have sent in subjects our questioners will try to discover in 20 questions or fewer. If your subject is used, you win a year's subscription to Pageant Magazine free. And if your subject can't be named within 20 questions, you get Pageant free the rest of your life, plus a grand surprise prize. Our mystery voice offstage in a soundproof booth will tip you people at home on what the subject is, while our studio guests here will know from a board that they alone can see. In other words, everybody will be in on the secret except our five eager questioners. Now this evening, our questioners are Fred Vandeventer, the well-known newscaster, Florence Renard, musician and teacher, Bobby McGuire, amazing 14-year-old schoolboy, Herb Palazzi, radio and motion picture producer, and our special guest tonight is the famous American conductor who has heard on many Mutual shows, Mr. Sylvan Levin. Very glad to have you here, Mr. Levin. Are you all set to play 20 questions with us?
Yes.
All right, fine. The conductor is ready, and I'm ready because I have a subject that's been sent in here by Paula Singer, whose home is in northeast Atlanta, Georgia, and our first subject tonight is animal.
This is the mystery voice Bill told you about. I'm telling you that the subject is Edgar Allan Poe's Raven.
Now the mystery voice has tipped you folks at home as to what it is. Our studio audience knows. And here go our questioners after it. Vandeventer?
Is it a living American man?
No, it's not a living American man. Tough luck. Miss Renard?
Is it a man?
Not a man. Vandeventer?
Is it a human being?
Not a human being, even. Mr. Blaise?
Well, is it a fictional animal?
It's a fictional animal. It's fictional, and it's animal.
Well, I got two for one.
Almost you did at that. Vandeventer?
Is it four-footed?
No. No. At least I never saw one with 4 feet. I don't think they got 4 feet. Bobby?
Is it a whole animal?
Yes, it's all of what it is, not just a part of it. Mr. Blaise?
Is it in children's literature?
No. No, not particularly. Vandeventer?
Is it a bird?
It's a bird. Vandeventer?
Was it written about in American literature?
Yes.
Was it the Raven?
It was Poe's Raven. Well, you gave me the bird that time. I thought I was going to get you. Subject number two is not quite so easy. It was thought up by Mrs. Darrell Williams, whose home was in Neptune City in the state of New Jersey. We're sending her a year's subscription to Pageant because we're using it. And this subject is neither animal, nor vegetable, nor mineral.
The panel may get a hint from the calendar for this. It's spring fever.
This is not too hard to get, but I think it's going to be hard for you to get it. All right, here we go. Mr. Blaise?
Is it a ghost of some kind?
No, it's no ghost. Bobby?
Is this part of a title or a saying?
No, it's not part of a title or a saying. Not part of a very familiar saying, at least. It's something that we say a lot, but it's not in the part of a very familiar saying.
Is this recognizable by any of the five senses?
Yes, you can tell when it's around. Bobby?
Does it express any human emotion?
Almost the contrary, Bobby. Mr. Palazzi?
Would you recognize it if a skunk were around?
I don't know about the things that happen to skunks, but I don't think this happens to skunks. I'm not sure. Vandeventer?
Can you see it?
No, you can't see it. You see the results of it sometimes, but you can't see it. Miss Renard?
Can you hear it?
Not usually. Vandeventer?
Is it a force of nature?
It's alleged to be, but it's not really. I don't think it is at all. It's a rather timely thing, as a matter of fact. Mr. Blaise?
Could you detect it with a mirror?
You might be able to. Vandeventer?
Do lovers enjoy it?
I personally don't think lovers ever get it. So, Miss Renard?
Is it something disagreeable?
I think it's fairly disagreeable. I believe some people enjoy it, though, but it's generally regarded as disagreeable. Bobby?
Would you say to a person if you wanted to, well, say, insult him or something like that?
You might use it in insulting a person. That's not quite clear to me. You might. How many questions so far? That's 12. There's 8 to go. Vandeveer?
Does it have anything to do with doctors?
No. And doctors can't do much about it, I'm being told. Vandeveer?
This is to amplify my other question. Is this a disease or an ailment of the human body of any kind?
Is that what you meant when you asked
that's
if it
right.
has something to do with doctors?
Yes.
I'm only going to charge you one question and say yes.
Is it a... Go ahead, Bob.
Bobby?
Spring fever.
Spring fever?
Yes,
there goes my wager of the evening.
That's
I
wonderful.
Thought sure you'd miss that one. That's very good going
yeah.
on. Bobby's pretty smart, isn't he, Mr. Blazy?
I'll say. We're studying together, you know.
Oh, you and Bobby?
Yeah.
You and Bobby are.
He's studying to be a genius, and I'm studying to be a moron.
If I may say so, I think you're both succeeding. Here is subject number 3, thought up by Joseph Clifford, whose home is in Stevenson in the state of Connecticut. And we're going to let the people at home play this right along with us. In other words, we're not going to tip them off by the mystery voice. And see if you people at home can get it as quick as our questioners here can. This subject is animal. All right? The studio audience knows what it is, but nobody else. Now let's see how fast we can get it. Miss Renard?
Is it real?
Yes. Bobby?
Is it a man?
Yes. Miss Blazy?
Have I ever met him?
I doubt it very much. Miss Renard?
Is he living?
No. Van Devaney?
Was he an American?
No, he was not. Miss Renard?
Was he a European?
Yes, he was a European. Van Devaney?
Was he English?
Let me
change that. Did he come from the British Isles?
He came from the British Isles. Miss Renard?
Was he a military figure?
No. Mr. Blake?
Was he in the entertainment world?
No. Bobby?
Was he Scotch?
He was Scotch, Bobby. Van de Vanner?
Was he a poet?
No, he was not. Bobby, again?
Was he a bandit?
No, no. Now, let's see how many questions that is up to here. That's 12. We have 8 to go. Mr. Levin?
Was he a writer of any kind, of anything?
Not primarily known as a writer. No. He wrote a little bit, but I doubt if you ever read anything he wrote. Not primarily known as a writer, Mr. Levin. Van de Vanner?
Was he a scientist?
In the strictest sense of the word, no. No. Not a laboratory scientist or anything like that. Bobby?
Was he an explorer?
Yes, Bobby, mm-hmm. He was. That's question number 15. We have 5 to go. He was an explorer, and he was from Scotland. Those things have been established, Mr. Blazin.
Were the first 2 letters of his name Mac?
No. Sorry, they were not. Van de Venning?
Did he exist during or following the time of Queen Elizabeth?
Following that time. And to go back to amplify Bobby's questions, whether he was an explorer, he was an explorer, but that was not the whole of his professional preoccupation. It's a pretty big word. Bobby?
Was he also a military leader or
no.
a naval leader?
No. A little sorry to see you waste that question. I think I answered that once before.
Yes.
There are only 2 questions left. To get this very well-known person. Now, that is really a sight, those 5 faces there looking at me. 5 maps of puzzlement.
Nice, quiet
nothing
place to spend a vacation.
Yes, it is. All right, now let's sort of concentrate, see if we can get this. Vandeveer?
Did his explorations take place in Africa?
Yes, they did, and there's only 1 question left. You get it, Vandeveer.
Livingston.
Dr. Livingston. It almost took you people as long to get Dr. Livingston as it took Stanley to find him, as a matter of fact. You didn't do so well on that, Mr. Blazy.
No, I'm not as sharp as Bobby here.
No. No.
Did I tell you we're studying geography together?
You and Bobby studying geography,
yeah.
For land's sake. Go ahead.
You know what our mark was last month?
What was that?
You'll be surprised. 98. He got 90, I got 8. True.
All right, let's move to subject number four, which Miss Doris Anderson of Waltham, Massachusetts, thought up. And because we're using it, she gets pageant-free for a year. This subject is animal.
I'm speaking from offstage again, just to you of the radio audience. Bill's subject is Peter, Pumpkin Eater.
All right, let's get this animal. A lot of people sent this one in, so we used the one with the earliest postmark. Here we go. Vandeventer?
Is it a human being?
Yes. Miss Renard?
Is he an American?
No.
Is he a fictional character?
Yes.
Was he associated with 40 Thieves?
No. You babbled out on me a little quick there, Mr. Falaise. Miss Renard?
Was he in American fiction?
No. No, that's five questions. Bobby?
European?
Fiction, this particular fiction had no nationality. Miss Renard?
Was it in children's fairy tales or something of that nature?
It was in children's literature, yes.
Was it in fairy tales, I ask you?
You want to make that all one question?
Yes, sir.
It was not in children's fairy tales. I think you euchred something out of me there, Miss Renard, but I'm not sure. Wait till I go back and examine myself.
But you evaded my question.
Oh, well, I have it now.
Why should
it? As a matter of fact, I think you've got something on me then, Miss Renard. You made me admit it was in children's literature, and then you shoved that fairy tale thing. However, I bow to a sharp woman any day. Bobby?
Was it in a nursery rhyme?
It was in a nursery rhyme, Bobby.
Is his name preceded by the word little?
No. We'll have to jack you up now, won't we? Mr. Pelosi?
Well, did he get great pleasure climbing a beanstalk?
I have to jack you up, too.
I thought you were throwing
a... Did he like any kind of meat?
Not particularly.
It wasn't Jack Spratt.
Mr. Levin?
Well, it could be Jack Horner.
No, it wasn't Jack Horner. You've had this guy eating everything.
Well, you've got Jack all the way around the line.
That's right. Van Devaney?
Was it established that it was a boy or a man? I didn't remember that that was established.
Yes, you got that out of me. It's a man in a nursery.
Was he a member of royalty?
No, he wasn't.
Well, that's, King Cole.
14. Wasn't King Cole, Bobby?
Was his first name Jack?
Oh, no. No. Miss Renard.
Was he a rather foolish, dumb person?
Well, from what he did, I don't think he was so dumb. No, he wasn't. He wasn't a dumb person, Bobby.
Was he, in the nursery rhyme, did he get hurt or was he killed or anything like that?
No. That came out fairly well in the nursery rhyme. We have three questions left. Miss Renard?
Is his name given in the nursery rhyme?
Oh, yes.
And he's called by name?
Oh, yes.
That's not another question.
No, I'm only going to charge you one on that, Miss Renard. Two questions left to get this nursery rhyme character. Now they are really working. Some of them are scratching their heads. Some of them are looking up at the lights. Mr. Pelosi is standing over here, moping his fevered brow, and Mr. Van Devaney speaks.
Moping is right. May I review again, please?
Oh, surely.
Was it established that he was a man as distinguished from a boy? That was established?
Yes, I gave away his sex. It's male.
But I mean a man as distinguished from a boy.
Oh, no, I don't think anybody asked that. And it isn't germane, particularly. Miss Renard?
Then he could be a boy. Now, that's not another question.
No. I said he was a man.
We've got that straight now.
Yes. Oh, sure. It's Renard and I getting things straight tonight. Well, we have two questions to go here. Let's get after this person. Nursery rhyme, man. Vandeventer?
No,
well, you can cut the tenseness with a knife here, but the clock ticks on. Tempest is fugiting on us, my friends. Bobby?
Did he end up with anything that is valuable or anything like that? I mean, did he?
In the first verse, I think he ended up with something that's very valuable. Yes? Yeah?
How many questions do we
have
left?
One question we have left, Mr. Levin. Going to try it, Bobby?
Yeah, is it Tom the Piper's son?
No, I'm awfully sorry. It was Peter, Pumpkin Eater. Had a wife and couldn't keep her. Put her in a pumpkin shell, and there he kept her very, very well, which I think is a lovely sign and story of domestic felicity. First, I'd like to award to Miss Doris Anderson, who thought up this one that stumped our questioners, her special surprise prize. In addition to getting pageant for the rest of her life, she is going to receive a 1946 table model radio. Let's move on to subject number five, which was thought up by J. Leroy Stoneburner, whose home is in Rock Island, Illinois. This subject is mineral.
The panel has 20 chances to guess the boiler of Robert Fulton's steamboat.
Now, this one's fairly difficult to get. I thought the last one was pretty easy.
Yeah, it was easy.
All right, here we go. It's a very hot question. Van de Venner?
Is this a class question?
No, this is a very specific subject we're after. Miss Renard?
Is this a mineral subject manufactured?
Yes. Mr. Palais?
Does it belong to a famous or a particular person? Is it known for the person who...
It's known for the person to whom it belongs. That's three questions. Van de Venner?
Is that person an American?
That person an American, yes. Bobby?
Is he living?
No. Miss Renard?
Is this object useful rather than ornamental?
Oh, it's not at all ornamental and very, very useful. Quite useful. One of the few things that antique-seeking housewives have not made ornamental, Miss Renard. Van de Venner?
Does this have anything to do with the government?
No.
The person I'm talking about,
no.
Did he have anything to do with
no.
it?
No. No, not at all. Mr. Blaise?
Is it about the size of something I'd throw at an umpire?
You'd have to be a whole lot bigger man than you are to throw this at any umpire.
Well, I would have some idea of the size.
Yes. Much bigger than that. Van de Venner?
Was it colonial?
No, it was not colonial. So, in the period shortly after that. Bobby?
Was this used as a weapon something for fighting?
No, this was not used as a weapon. Miss Renard?
Was it moved around or did it stay in one place?
No, it was mobile, moved around. Bobby?
Did it move around of its own accord?
What'd you say?
Did it move around under its own power?
Glad there's nobody here to describe my face. It moved around. Yes. I think I have to say yes to your question, Bob.
Its own power?
Yes. I don't want to make you think it was a mechanism with gears and stuff in it. It wasn't.
Was it a means of transportation?
Was this thing a means of transportation? Yes. I have to say yes to that.
Mr. On LeBain? Water or on land?
Now, I have to be in the yes or no category, Mr. Levin, but that's easy.
Am I asking two questions?
No,
is that what's
no,
wrong?
On water.
On water.
Bobby?
Oh, wait a minute. You said this was not fictional.
Van de Venner?
Was it a boat of some sort?
This thing itself was not a boat. That's 15 questions. We have 5 to go, Mr.
Was Blake. It a barrel?
Sir?
Was it a barrel?
Oh, no, no. You could...
Was it part of a boat?
It was part of a boat, Miss Renard.
Was it part of a very famous boat?
That's another question.
I know it.
That's right. We have 2 questions left. Miss Renard? Mr. Blaise?
Was it a part of the Monitor or the Merrimack?
No, it was not a part of that boat. This is a part of another famous boat, and there is 1 question left. Want to try it, Mr. Levin?
I'll try for the Constitution. Part of the Constitution.
I'm sorry, that's 20 questions. What were you going to try, Miss Renard?
I was going to say the iron size of the Constitution, so that would be wrong, too.
That would have been wrong, too. You'd have all been on board ship without a destination. Well, Mr. J. Leroy Stoneburner of Rock Island, Illinois, wins a grand surprise prize because the subject was the boiler of Robert Fulton's steamboat. It's a fairly tough one. And in addition to Paget Magazine free for the rest of his life, Mr. Stoneburner is going to get a 1946 model portable typewriter. Congratulations to you.
No, I think he ought to send us a Stoneburner.
No, I know. And Mr. Stoneburner got the boiler on you. Now, here is our number 6 subject. Mrs. Clifton S. Dunn, whose home is in Dallas, Texas, thought this one up. And this one is not so hard to get, I'm sure. It's vegetable.
This is the Mystery Voice once more with the subject... Rolling pin.
All right, here we go after this one. Who wants to try it first? Mr. Palazzi?
Well, would I give it to my wife?
Not very likely.
She'd what? Give it to me.
Is that question number 2?
Number 2.
I say yes.
Oh. Gotta get lucky once in your
Bobby?
Life.
Bobby?
It's an article of wearing apparel.
No, you can't wear this. Miss Renard?
Is it raspberries?
Not in the form of raspberries, no.
Well, you said his wife would give it to him, so I just wondered.
Oh, why? I don't know. We must check into the home life of the Pelezis. Mr. Vandeventer?
Is it edible?
No, no, you can't eat this. Vandeventer?
Is it made of wood?
It's made of wood. Ordinarily. Frankly, always. Bobby?
Is it a class question?
It's a class question. It's.
Would you find it in an average kitchen?
Yeah, I think you would.
Rolling
Mr.
pin.
Levin? Rolling pins, you say, Bobby? All right, now I will ask you, Mr. Pelezi, would your wife give it to you?
She has.
I don't know if it's done much good. I don't know that you're doing quite so well tonight, Mr. Pelezi.
I'm enjoying it, though.
Are you really?
Yes.
Having a good time, are you? Well, of course, there's always the Mexican League, Mr. Pelezi.
Yes, I'm liable to jump.
Sure.
Wouldn't I look funny playing second base in the Mexican 20 questions?
That would be very good. You'd probably get paid more. Subject number 7 was thought up by Howard Zimmerman, whose home is in Brooklyn, New York, and this subject is mineral.
Bill is thinking about a subject in English literature, Silas Marner's gold.
All right, let's see if you can get this as easily as Bobby did the rolling pin. This is tough. Vandeventer?
Is it metallic?
Yes, it's metal. Bobby?
Does it exist?
Today?
Yes.
No. Vandeventer?
Was it fictional?
It was fictional. Miss Renard?
Was it
in fiction, Bobby?
Did it have anything to do with the Knights?
With the Knights?
Yes.
You mean K-N-I-G-H-T-A?
Yes.
Or N-I?
You know, the ones that fight with spears and stuff like that.
Oh, the men that go out and
fight.
Oh, that kind of knight.
Yeah.
Yes, that's why they called the first woman Eve. Did you know that? Because all the knights came after her. It had nothing to do with the knights, Bobby. Saul, excuse me.
Yeah, I will.
Vandeventer?
He's in a daze.
Oh, daze and knights. Good.
Was this,
All right, now let's...
You can't guess him. You have to say something.
Yes, yes. Let's settle down to business here. We've got 5 questions moving toward this subject. Vandeventer.
Was this written by a definite particular person as distinguished from groups of people?
No, it's written by a specific person. A subject in fiction written by a specific person. Miss Renard.
Was it in English fiction?
Yes.
Was it by Shakespeare?
No. We always get that question, don't we?
Sometimes it's right.
That's right. Mr. Kieran knows that. Bobby?
Was it by Scott?
No, not by Scott. Mr. Pleasant?
I was going to say Dickens. Should I say Dickens?
Well, you've already said Dickens. Now, that is 10 questions.
Oh, was it Dickens?
No, I'm sorry. It was not Dickens. Vandeventer?
Well, is this in contemporary English fiction?
Contemporary? You mean, is the author living?
Well, yes.
No.
Or in recent years, he doesn't have to be living to be contemporary.
No, it's scarcely considered contemporary.
We're after the object, aren't we? Excuse me.
We're after the subject. Subject.
Yes, in I mean the subject.
Piece of fiction. That question doesn't count.
No.
Bobby?
Is it in a classic?
Yes, it's a classic. And you'll either have had it pretty soon in high school or have got it now, Bobby.
Is it in the title of this book?
No, the subject is not in the title of the book. The thing we're after is not in the title of the book.
Was this author living about the same time as Dickens?
Later, I believe.
Later than Dickens?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was it in a poem?
No, it's in was not in a poem. My better nature gets up there every so often. Mr. Levin?
Was it a sharp object?
No, not sharp. We have 3 questions left.
Anybody? Has it been established? This is not a question. Has it been established that this was manufactured?
I think it was established that it was not in its natural state, which would presuppose some human type of processing on it, I guess. That ends our non-questionable colloquy, does it, Mr. Vandeventer?
Yeah.
All right. No charge. We're just as we started.
No, we're not. We're worse off.
Bobby?
Was it written by Stevenson?
No, I'm sorry. It was not written by Stevenson. 2 questions left. The subject is in the fiction. You know, you've been trying to locate who wrote it.
Yeah.
This is a toughie.
Well, if we knew who wrote it, we might know what he wrote about.
That's right, Miss Renard. But you don't know who wrote it yet, do you?
No, I don't know what he wrote about.
Vandeventer?
Was it Kipling?
No, it wasn't Kipling. There's only 1 question left. So you might just as well take a shot on this. Found him in it?
Was it the chains inside the Tower of London hidden by the door of the Tower of London?
Is that why London Bridge is falling down? No, I'm awfully sorry. It was the gold that belonged to Silas Marner in the story by George Eliot. And that, I think, was a fairly tough one. Howard Zimmerman, a 16-year older, incidentally, of Brooklyn, New York, thought that up. And to Howard Zimmerman, in addition to Paget Magazine for the rest of his life, which should be a long time, we're going to send 5 record albums consisting of the latest recorded hits to Howard Zimmerman. Congratulations, Howard.
Tune in again next week when Fred Van Deventer, Florence Renard, Herb Palasi, and Bobby McGuire try to identify the subjects you suggest. This is Bob Martin speaking.
20 Questions on Tuned to Yesterday, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from April 6th, 1946. That was its first year on the air, part of Mutual's Wednesday night lineup at 9:30. Nearly 10 million people tuned into that episode. You are listening to an hour of quiz shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now we'll turn it over to Bud Collier, who played Superman on radio for years and was also a host of many different programs, including this show, The Quiz of Two Cities. He'll be representing New York, while announcer Holland Engel will be representing Chicago in this Mutual radio broadcast from November 5th, 1944.
Is Chicago ready?
Yeah!
Is New York ready?
Yeah!
Then make way for the Quiz of Two Cities, presented by Listerine Toothpaste. And welcome you are, folks, each and every one of you. You're just in time for another fast and furious battle of wits between Chicago and New York. Last week's bout was taken by New York, but that only makes Chicago all the more determined to do a little winning of their own on today's Quiz of Two Cities. There goes the bell for round one, and here comes the New York team raring to go. You're on your own, Bud Collier.
Okay, thanks from New York. And thank you, Mike Fitzmaurice, and how are you all, friends? And Mike, I'm glad to say, is right. We are raring to go, right over the line for a good, fat, juicy touchdown with our swell team from the Advertising Club of New York. And our first contestant is Mr. Philip J. Kelly. Mr. Kelly, would you step up to the microphone? Stand right there, sir. Facing me, that's it. What is your occupation in advertising, sir?
I'm the sales manager of Carstairs Brothers.
I see, and are you... I understand you're also active in the War Advertising Council. Is that true?
Yes, sir. I'm managing the Veterans Campaign.
What does that job entail at the moment?
Well, it entails 3 different campaigns to help the veterans get readjusted to civilian life.
I imagine your advertising experience comes in very powerfully there. How long have you been in advertising, by the way?
About 25 years.
And you enjoy it?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell me, do you have any particular hobby that you do outside of... you don't advertise around the house. Do you walk around with slogans and whatnot?
I try it, but it doesn't do much good.
I mean, your wife has better slogans than you have, is that it?
She does seem to have. I just got back from a hunting trip.
Oh, hunting.
Way
I have like
a hobby.
Hunting season's on now, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Are you pretty good?
Well, I like to think I am. I wasn't so good this week.
What were you out for?
Well, I went out for deer in the beginning of the week, and we got some ducks yesterday.
Wound up with duck. Well, that's a come down, but I'm glad you had a lot of that good old fresh air. This fall season is really one of the best we have back here in the East, especially. Well, now, are you ready, sir, to dive into some questions here and get some shekels for yourself and some points for the team?
I'm ready.
All right, sir. Here we go. This is your first question. Now, listen carefully. You should know this. One of America's oldest and best-loved radio programs is Amos and Andy. You've undoubtedly heard it many times, haven't you?
That is right.
All right. Now, is it Amos or Andy who plays the part of Brother Crawford?
Amos plays the part of Brother
Crawford. Right, you are, sir. That's well. All right, here's your second question worth 10 points and $3. They're going up. The youngest of all the uniformed women's war organizations has 100,000 young women as members throughout the country, the largest membership. Now, is this newest yet largest organization the WAC, the WAVE, or the Cadet Nurse Corps?
The Cadet Nurse Corps is the newest.
Absolutely, sir. You're quite right. The newest and the largest, and a mighty swell job they're doing, too. And all women's services need more members. You can just bet your boots on that. They can always use them and need them, and it's a wonderful contribution that the members thereof make to the war effort. I think you'll agree with me there, won't you?
It's a wonderful contribution. Just look at those pretty uniforms.
Well, aside from that, the gals that wear them are really doing a swell job. Now, here's our third question worth 20 points and $5. You're getting right up in the big money now. Abbreviated forms of a company's name make for concise trademarks. I should be telling you that. You should be telling me that. Now, what companies do these abbreviated forms of company names stand for? Alcoa, A-L-C-O-A.
Aluminum Corporation of America.
Well, I'll leave that to the judges. The company, I don't know. The judge says fine. All right, Corporation Company. Aluminum Corporation of America. Armco, A-R-M-C-O.
Armco Ingot Iron. American Rolling Mills.
That's right. I held my breath on that one. Sound like double dog for a minute. Conoco, C-O-N-O-C-O.
Continental Oil Corporation.
Right, sir. Boy, he's knocked right down here. Nabisco, we all know that.
National Biscuit.
National Biscuit Company. It's good job, Mr. Kelly. You get an extra $5, and you also get two nice tubes of Listerine toothpaste for a smile that's very quick and ready there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. It's the safe prescription for your teeth. Now, don't go away, folks. There's another side to this round number one, and who else would that be but our distinguished gentleman from Chicago and Holland Engel. Well, thank you. Thank you, Chicago Rooters. And just wait till you hear our side of the story, Bud Collier in New York. We'll have plenty to say. And now, friends, meet the first member of our team, all selected from the Chicago Federated Advertising Club. And he is Mr. G.D. Crane, Jr., publisher of Advertising Age magazine. Mr. Crane, it's a pleasure to have you here today. And in line with your duties as publisher of Advertising Age, are you taking any further part in any other activities today? Are you doing anything else outside of the publishing job of that magazine?
Not today.
No. Well, I mean during the week, then. May I rephrase the question? Do you do anything else, Mr. Crane, or is that your whole operation?
Well, we have a number of other publications.
Do you have anything to do with any advertising other than the publishing of those magazines, or you just spend your whole time putting out those magazines?
That's right.
That's a man-sized job, huh?
Well, pretty near.
All right. Now, Mr. Crane, you step right up close to that microphone, because I'm going to ask you a few questions in a moment. First, were you able to hear any of the questions or the answers from New York?
No, I was not.
Absolutely not. And that's because the Quiz of Two Cities takes place in different studios in different cities. Only the judges and the listening audience can hear both sides. Well, now let's go on with our side. Here's the first question, paying a solid 10 points and $2 silver. And here it is. One of America's oldest and best-loved radio programs is Amos and Andy. Now, tell me, is it Amos or Andy who plays the part of Brother Crawford? You've heard that program, haven't you, Amos and Andy?
Yes.
You know the two voices, you know
yes.
The voice. All right, now, is it Amos or is it Andy who plays the part of Brother Crawford?
Amos.
Amos, he said. All right, let's go on to the second question worth 10 points and $3. The youngest of all the uniformed women's war organizations has 100,000 young women as members throughout the country. The largest membership. Now, is this newest yet largest organization the WAC, the WAVE, or the Cadet Nurses Corps? Is this newest yet largest organization the WAC, the WAVE, or the Cadet Nurses Corps?
The Cadet Nurses Corps.
The Cadet Nurses Corps. And say there's a plug right there for all women to get interested at once in women's services because they need more members wherever it's possible for you young ladies to cooperate with our country. All right, your third question worth 20 points and $5. Abbreviated forms of a company's name make for concise trademarks. Now, what companies do these following stand for? I'm going to give them, and you tell me what the companies are. The first one is Alcoa, A-L-C-O-A.
Aluminum Company of America.
All right. A-R-M-C-O, Armco.
American Rolling Mills Company.
And C-O-N-O-C-O, Conoco.
Continental Oil Company.
And finally, Nabisco, N-A-B-I-S-C-O.
National Biscuit Company.
Well, you've won our applause, Mr. Crane. Yes, sir. And also, you've won yourself $5 extra, and these two big blue and white tubes of Listerine toothpaste, the prescription for your teeth.
As if we needed any warning that it's time for round two on this Quiz of Two Cities between New York and Chicago. Well, Bud Collier, what are you waiting for? A special warning?
No, not us, Mike. No, sir. We're just waiting for our second distinguished question killer to get up to the microphone here. He's Mr. Charles E. Murphy. Mr. Murphy, would you step up here? You are, as I understand, sir, past president of the New York Advertising Club. Is that right?
That's right, Bud.
And counsel for the Advertising Federation of America.
That's right.
Well, swell, sir. What hobbies have you got?
I play a little golf
occasionally. And how long have you been in advertising?
I was in advertising several years before I started to practice law.
Well, practice law now, too.
Indeed so.
Hey, you're really running the thing both ends. Would you mind stepping over just
a
little
delighted, more? Sure.
Well, that's fine. Well, now, are you ready to practice on a few of these questions here, boy?
Yes,
give
I am.
Give us the legal answers, huh?
Right, yes.
All right, so here's the first one. We all know the wonderful work the canines are doing. That's the specially trained war dogs, you know.
Yes.
But have they been trained as mine detectors, too? Let me read that again to you. We all know the wonderful work the canines are doing, but have they been trained as mine detectors, too?
Oh, indeed so.
Indeed they have, yes, sir. Most people don't know that, but they have been trained to detect non-metallic landmines that can't be found with our mechanical equipment.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Murray. Now let's make a nice quick switch to Chicago, where Holland Engel can hardly wait to start asking some questions of his own.
Right, Bud, right. And where we might add Mr. Homer J. Buckley, president of Buckley DeMet Company, can hardly wait to answer those questions. How are you today, Mr. Buckley? We're glad to have you with us.
Very fine.
Mr. Buckley, are you tied up in your business completely, as I asked Mr. Crane at the beginning, or do you have some outside irons in the fire also?
Yes, indeed, I have a number of them.
Number of outside irons. Are they all in advertising, Mr. Buckley?
No, I'm on the sponsoring committee of the War Advertising Council.
I see.
And I'm also chairman of the Six War Loan Committee Special Groups Division.
Sounds to me like you had your handful right there, and I'll bet the way you're looking at me, you have some more irons in the fire as well. Well, look, let's get going here for your questions, and your first one worth 10 points and two silver dollars. Now, listen carefully. We all know the wonderful work the canines are doing, the specially trained war dogs, you know, but have they been trained as mine detectors, too? Now, I'm going to give you that again. We all know the wonderful work the canines are doing, the specially trained war dogs. But have they been trained as mine detectors, too?
Yes.
Do you say they have? All right, the second question worth 10 points and $3. To what kingdom, animal, vegetable, or mineral, do each of the following belong? First, Selenese, then Pekingese, and finally Manganese. I'm getting my things mixed up here. I'll give them to you again. Selenese, Pekingese, and Manganese. I'll give you the first one. Selenese. What does that belong to, animal, vegetable, or mineral? Selenese.
Mineral.
Mineral. And let's go to Pekingese.
I don't know.
Animal, vegetable, or mineral?
I don't know.
You don't know what a Pekingese is. All right. We'll go on to the last one. Manganese.
Mineral.
Mineral. All right, I'm afraid we're going to hit a little jackpot in that particular question, because we got one I know wrong. But we'll go on to the third question worth 20 points and $5. And now, Mr. Buckley, let's really get this one. In addition to being trade names, what do the following words have in common? Cellophane, Cellotex, windbreaker, dictaphone, Kodak, Listerine, Pyrex, Thermos, Vaseline. Now, in addition to being trade names, what do those words have in common?
They're great advertising names.
I believe we'll leave that to the judges. I think great advertising names would be a fair answer in that case. Would you like to clarify that a little bit in any way for me before we go on?
Well, they're popular in the public mind.
Popular in the public mind. Thank you very much. That was swell, Mr. Buckley. And while we wait for the jackpot question to come up, here's $5 extra and these 2 tubes of that remarkable prescription for your teeth, Listerine toothpaste. All of which brings us now to Mike Fitzmaurice with the Midway Scores.
Well, the Midway Scores on today's Quiz of Two Cities are 70 points for Chicago and 70 points for New York. That's right, folks. It's a tie score with nobody ahead at the half. But as you know, every quiz has 4 quarters, to say nothing about that jackpot, so it's still anybody's fight. Here's round 3, and both teams are ready to step into the ring and slug it out for a final victory. Come on in, New York, and Bud Collier, and let's look you over.
You better look fast, Mike. Better look fast, because we're all set to show you some tricky footwork here, to say nothing about some good, fast brain work. And here's Mr. Francis Lawton, Jr., our next contestant, stepping up here to the microphone to help us out in this department. Mr. Lawton, you're an advertising executive.
In the manner of speaking, yes, sir.
Yeah, what's the manner of speaking?
I am president of General Business Films Incorporated.
I see.
Films for advertising purposes, among many other things.
You are, I understand, also on this War Activities Council of New York, right?
I was the first chairman, but I've had some successes since.
Uh-huh, I see. Well, you put your stint in there, I'm sure. Weren't you the founder of a famous ad club somewhere, too? One of the founding fathers?
I was one of the founders of the Advertising Club of Baltimore.
In Baltimore. But now you owe your allegiance to New York. Is that the idea?
Yes, I was transferred here some years ago.
Well, we're glad you were. We're glad to have you on the team. Now, here's your first question. To whom do these trademarks belong? The pyramids. I'll give you the three of them. The pyramids, an Indian chief, Satan. Now, to whom does the trademark of the pyramids belong? How about an Indian chief? Can you think of a trademark that has an Indian chief?
picture of an Indian chief. Just ahead, I believe it is.
Nothing but the Indian penny.
Well, that's a good ad. How about Satan, if you have enough of them, that is? How about Satan? What have you seen the picture of Satan on as a trademark?
Underwood's deviled hand.
That's right. That's a good answer. Absolutely, sir. Got right in there on that one. Well, I'm sorry we didn't get the first. You want to try the pyramids once more? Didn't give a guess on that.
Unless you mean Egyptian deities.
No,
cigarettes,
no.
But I haven't seen it.
Well, all right, let's go to our second question. Worth 10 points and $3. Old Man River recalls the famous musical production entitled Of Thee I Sing, The Merry Widow, or Showboat?
Showboat.
That's right, sir. All right, here's your third question worth 20 points and $5. How's your Shakespeare?
Only fair.
Only fair. We'll see what you can do with this. You should have any trouble telling us if you can think just a little concisely here. From what Shakespearean plays, the following well-known quotations are taken. Now, here's the first one. Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown.
Hamlet.
All right, here's your second one. A horse, my kingdom for a horse. These days of A coupons, I can say that again.
I think that was from Hamlet, too.
All right, and brevity is the soul of wit.
King Lear.
Oh, dear heaven. Hamlet was right on the first two, but, I mean, on the last one, but not on the first two. So we didn't get any credit on that. But thanks anyway, Mr. Lawton, for coming up. Don't feel badly about it, because, frankly, if I had the answers here in front of me, I wouldn't have known them either. Not that that gives you any comfort. But here are two tubes of Listerine toothpaste created by experts as a safe prescription for your teeth. Thank you very much. Now, without losing a breath, and with just the click of a switch, it's Holland Engel in Chicago.
And without even the click of a switch, I give you Mr. Elon G. Borton, ad director of the LaSalle Extension University here in Chicago. Mr. Borton, it's a pleasure to have you up here this afternoon. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked several of the other gentlemen. Do you do anything else besides your activities down at LaSalle Extension?
Yes, a great deal.
One or two, Mr. Borton?
Quite active in Boy Scouts, and I have a garden.
And you have a garden. I'll say, I had a garden about a year ago, but I haven't gotten over it yet. My back is still a little stiff. I think I'm going to start up again next year. Well, all right, Mr. Borton, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's get on with the questions here. Your first question is worth 10 points and two silver dollars. You all ready for it?
Ready.
All right, ready and waiting. To whom do these trademarks belong? I'm going to give you three of them, and you can tell me afterwards. The pyramids, an Indian chief, and Satan. Now, let's go back to the first one. To whom do these trademarks belong? The first one, the pyramids. You have any idea on that, Mr. Borton, at all?
No, I do not know.
All right, we'll go on to the next one. An Indian chief. As Bud said a moment ago, I believe it's just the head of an Indian chief. Do you have any idea of any product that uses an Indian chief's head?
Is that the Indian Oil Company?
Well, I think we'll leave that to the judges. There's a possibility that answer might be correct, Mr. Borton. It's not the answer I have here, but it might be. The third one is Satan. A picture of that old fellow with the horns, you know. What would that occur as a trademark for?
I do not know.
He does not know. Well, we're going to have to drop a couple of little coins here, I think, at that point. But we'll go on to the second question worth 10 points and $3. And I'm sure you get this one. Old Man River recalls the famous musical production entitled Of Thee I Sing, The Merry Widow, or Showboat. Now, there are three.
Showboat.
What does it recall? Showboat. All right. Fine. We'll go on to the third question worth 20 points and $5. Now, how's your Shakespeare, Mr. Borton? You pretty good on Shakespeare?
No, not
so not
good.
Not so good. Neither am I. We'll struggle through this one, then. You'll have no trouble telling us from what Shakespearean plays the following well-known quotations are taken. I'll give them to you. Perhaps they'll come back to you from your school days. The first one is, uneasy lies the head that wears the crown.
That's from Julius Caesar.
That's from Julius Caesar, he says. All right. A horse, my kingdom for a horse. What Shakespearean play does that come from? I know my Shakespearean acting is very, very lousy, but whose isn't, Mr. Borton? a horse, my kingdom for a horse. Shakespearean play.
Seems to me it's from Hamlet, then.
From Hamlet, all right. The last one is, brevity is the soul of wit.
No, I do not know.
He doesn't know, so we're going to have to hit that jackpot. But that's sort of pitching your curve, Mr. Borton, because, frankly, wouldn't have known any of those either, and I don't think Bud Collier in New York would have. But nice answering. It's been a pleasure having you up here. And here are your two tubes of that Listerine toothpaste, the prescription for your teeth.
Listen to that bell clang, and while you're at it, listen to round four, and listen, too, to Bud Collier as he gets his New York team underway.
All right, while everyone's in a listening mood, Mike, let's take a listen to New York's next contestant, Mr. G. Lynn Sumner. Mr. Sumner, would you step up here to the microphone?
Mr. Sumner, I believe, is president of G. Lynn Sumner Company.
That's
not
correct.
Much mistaking that. Past president of the advertising club, too, I understand.
That's correct.
All right, now, here we go with our last chance to build up our score before the jackpot, Mr. Sumner. A right answer to this question brings home some of that well-known bacon, which is hard to get, both senses of the word. 10 points and $2 silver to you. Here's your first one. Pictures of people from the past are often registered as trademarks. You know that.
Yes.
Well, identify the following. The 16th president of the United States. Now, he has been connected as a trademark with some company.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln, yes, sir. All right.
Lincoln Life Insurance.
Right, absolutely. Here's the second one. Queen Victoria's husband.
Prince Albert.
Tobacco. That's right, sir. And a knight famed for having spread his cloak in the mud.
Sir Walter Raleigh.
That's right, sir. Good deal. All right. Here's the next question with 10 points and $3. How is your voice, Mr. Sumner?
How is my voice?
How is your voice?
Well, it's... passable.
It's passable. All right, well, get it ready.
Don't tell me I'm a thing.
No, no, we'll see what happens here. Not long ago, everybody was talking about the fifinellas. Have you heard the expression of fifinellas? Well, now, if you think a fifinella is a new sort of rocket gun, sing a few bars of Rockabye Baby. If you think a fifinella is a female gremlin, sing Three Blind Mice.
Three blind...
Attaboy! Good deal, Mr. Sumner. All right, here's your third question worth 20 points and $5. The Liberty ship Louis Pasteur, listen to that name, Louis Pasteur, the Liberty ship, was not christened with the usual bottle of champagne. However, it was christened with a bottle of a more appropriate fluid. What was it and why? Would you know? Think of that name now. I'm snitching in the audience.
Well, could be Listerine.
No, that's not a problem. Oh, what would you say? It was christened with a bottle of a more appropriate fluid than champagne. Liberty ship Louis Pasteur. I can't make it any broader than that. You make me mighty what contented if you answer this correctly. I'll tell you. Mighty
Louis
contented.
Pasteur.
I'll be so contented, I'll go out of here smiling from
could
ear to ear.
Could be pasteurized milk.
That's right! Oh, dear. You got that. Thank you, Mrs. Sumner. You got $5 extra and 2 big 2s and that famous prescription for your teeth, Listerine toothpaste. Thanks very much. And quick like a bunny over to Chicago and holiday.
All right, thanks a lot. And here's our anchor man, Mr. Glenn Miller, who's going to make with some right answers quick like a bunny. But first, Mr. Miller, what are your connections in the advertising club?
Well, I'm president of the Chicago Federated Advertising Club. And I'm hoping we'll win today because we fellas have decided we're going to turn our money over to the off-the-street club.
What's the off-the-street club, Mr. Miller?
Well, that is a boys and girls club out in one of our worst sections on the west side that the Chicago advertising interests have helped to carry.
Oh, fine, Mr. Miller. We'll say I hope you win, too, because it's a worthy cause. All right, let's give you your first 10-point and $2 silver question, shall we? Here we are. Pictures of people from the past are often registered as trademarks. I want you to identify the following. First, the 16th president of the United States. Can you identify that as a trademark? One of our presidents, well-known 16th president of the United States. Who used him as a trademark?
Must be the Lincoln Life Insurance.
All right, sir. And next, Queen Victoria's husband. What?
I heard that. I was about to say it was a cigar, but I did hear the...
Well, what would you say about that? Did you hear prompting from the audience, you mean?
I would have said it was a cigar.
Well, we'll leave that to the judges then, Mr. Miller. Now, we'll go on to the third one. A knight famed for having spread his cloak in the mud.
Raleigh cigarette.
Oh, fine, fine. All right, now your second question worth 10 points and $3. How's your voice, Mr. Miller? Can you sing?
No, not at all.
Well, we won't ask you to say. Well, get ready to work on it a little bit anyway. Not long ago, everybody was talking about the fifinellas. Now, if you think a fifinella is a new sort of rocket gun, I want you to sing just a couple of bars of Rockabye Baby. But if you think a fifinella is a female gremlin, then sing Three Blind Mice.
Three blind
mice. All right! Now then, your third question worth 20 points and $5. The Liberty ship Louis Pasteur was not christened with the usual bottle of champagne. However, it was christened with a bottle of more appropriate fluid. What was it and why, do you know?
Must have been Listerine.
No, we had that answer in New York, but we'll give you a chance to think that over. Now, this is going to be sort of like milking it out of you, but I'll have to get at it. The usual bottle of champagne was not used. What would you say it was?
Couldn't have been milk, could it?
All right, I just did that. I did that because it came from New York that way. Thanks, Mr. Miller. And you win a sensational prize of $5 extra, these 2 tubes of that famous prescription for your teeth, delightful Listerine toothpaste. And now let's hurry back to Mike Fitzmaurice in New York.
All right. Here's our jackpot question in New York for the entire team. Now, here we go. In 25 seconds from the time I say go, give me the names of the vice presidents who served with the following presidency. All set? Go. Franklin D. Roosevelt, first term.
Garner.
Right. Herbert Hoover.
Curtis.
Right. Calvin Coolidge.
Curtis.
Warren Harding. Warren G. Harding. Vice President.
Curtis.
First
and
term.
Coolidge.
Woodrow Wilson.
Marshall.
That's right. All right. That's all we have time for. Take it away. Howard Engel.
All right. Here's our question out in Chicago. The jackpot question. I'm going to give you the names of some men, and I want you to get the names that go with them. When I say go, here's what you have to do. When I say go, give me the names of the vice presidents who served with the following presidents. Okay, set, go. Franklin D. Roosevelt. Franklin D. Roosevelt. Who is the vice president?
Wallace.
All right. Herbert Hoover.
Curtis.
Calvin Cooley.
Dawes.
Warren Harding. Warren G. Harding. Who is the vice president? I'll go up the next one. Woodrow Wilson.
Marshall.
Hit that thing. Now back to New York.
New York wins.
Okay, New York wins. Here's the score. 100 points for Chicago, 120 points for New York. Let's get off the air fast, folks. Be with us next Sunday and every Sunday when Listerine Toothpaste again presents your quiz of two cities. This is Michael Fitzmaurice saying good afternoon, and this is Mutual.
The Quiz of Two Cities on Tuned to Yesterday from the 5th of November, 1944 on Mutual. And that closes this hour of quiz shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. And until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. It's been a pleasure.